Hello, and welcome to the Ask Mom RN Show. Each week, Mom RN and her expert guests share practical advice for raising a happy, healthy family. Now, here's your host of the Ask Mom RN Show, Tamara Walker.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. I am so glad you are here with us. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2015, and it is Cyber Monday, so maybe you are trying to get some great deals on your holiday shopping. And if you are, we have some tips coming up later in the show for you. We also have some great guests and lots of things to talk about today. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving if you're here in the States. Hope that you had a safe and happy Thanksgiving with your family and friends. We had a wonderful time with our family. Although this year was a little bit different and a little hard for me because it was the first year we did not get to spend Thanksgiving Day with either one of my two kids. They both had other obligations and they weren't with us Thanksgiving Day. So we took them out to eat before Thanksgiving to kind of spend some time with them. And, it's just, even if you can't spend the actual day of the holiday with your family, any time that you get with your family is precious, and especially if you have children. Today, also wanted to talk about adoption because November is National Adoption Month. And, speaking of being with children, if you are someone who does not have a child and you want a child and you're trying to adopt, sometimes the holidays can be kind of difficult. Wanting a baby or a child to make your family feel complete, that can be a difficult thing. And there's been a lot of changes in the adoption process over the past few years. We have a couple of people who are here to talk with us about some of these changes in adoption. One is a Catholic Charities adoption social worker, and her name is Cassie Ronning. And we also have a Wisconsin woman named Katie who is trying to adopt a baby along with her husband. And they're going to share with us a little bit about adoption, what the changes are in the process, and Katie's going to share a little bit about her story of trying to adopt a child. So let's go ahead and welcome them to the show.
Hello, Katie and Cassie. Welcome to the Ask Mom RN Show.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being with us. Cassie, I'd like to start with you. Could you please tell us a little bit about how the adoption process has changed over the years and the difference between an open adoption versus a closed adoption?
The adoption process has dramatically changed over the past couple of years. Just a few years back, adoptions were kept a secret, nobody talked about them, and they were kept closed. And the birth parents didn't have any say in which family adopted their child. Nowadays, adoptions are definitely more open. Catholic Charities advocates for open adoptions, and an open adoption is when the birth parents have the right to choose which family they would like to raise their child, and then which type of contact they want to have with that child after adoption is finalized. They can either have written letters sent in the mail, they can have phone calls scheduled throughout the year, or they can even meet with the child and the adoptive family face-to-face throughout the lifetime.
And when a couple is looking to adopt and you're looking to work with them, what are some things that you look for to determine if this couple is going to be a good family to raise a child in?
So we go through a 4-month period of getting to know these families that are looking to adopt. So we dig pretty deep into their lives, and we get to know a lot about them and their parenting styles and how they were raised and their background and all that information, pretty much everything under the sun about these families. The only requirement that we really ask about them is that they, at least here in Wisconsin, is they be married for 2 years and that they are financially, emotionally, and physically stable to provide for a child as long as meet some state foster care licensing codes.
Katie, would you tell us a little bit about your story? You and your husband are looking to adopt a child. Why did you decide to work with Catholic Charities to help you in this process?
Well, we had been through many years of fertility treatments, which were unsuccessful. And when we decided to stop fertility treatments, we determined that our path to having a child was meant to be through adoption. And we did a lot of research on adoption agencies. We knew that our preference was domestic infant adoption. And so we talked to a lot of people, and we heard a lot of great things about Catholic Charities. And so we decided to pursue them as our adoption agency.
And how long have you been in this process?
We started the background and home study process a year ago, and that we've been awaiting family for about 6 months now.
And what are you and your husband doing to stay optimistic while you wait to bring a child home?
It can be hard to stay optimistic because it is so emotional, especially after years of facing infertility treatments and then the aspect of possibly facing years of waiting for a child. But fortunately, my husband and I have a very strong marriage. We're best friends, and we spend a lot of time just doing things we enjoy doing together. We have a support system of family and friends that help us stay positive, and we just believe that when the time is right, a child will come into our lives, and we just focus on the philosophy that this is about the journey and not the destination.
And that support system is so important, I'm sure. Cassie, what are some of the obstacles that parents face, or prospective parents face, and what can they do during this process of waiting for a child?
So the biggest obstacle that these prospective parents are facing, like Katie said, is the longer wait times. So there are just fewer babies that are available for adoption. The teen birth rate has declined, and then a stigma for single mothers has completely vanished. So what these prospective parents can do during this time is really do their own outreach. So putting themselves out there and letting everybody know that they are looking to adopt, and hopefully finding somebody who knows of someone who is wanting to create an adoption plan.
And if somebody is considering adoption, what advice would you share with them of what they need to know before they even begin the process?
I would let prospective adoptive parents know that they need to be patient. And I also agree with Katie's statement that having a support system is probably the biggest thing as well. So being patient with the long wait times, knowing that everything is going to happen when it is supposed to happen, and being able to rely on family and friends when that gets tough to remember.
And where can we go to learn more about the adoption process and also about Catholic Charities and how they help prospective adoptive parents?
So if you want any information about becoming an adoptive parent, or if you know of anybody who is looking to create an adoption plan, or if you are an expectant mother or father looking to create an adoption plan, you can go to our local website at www.ccmke.org, or you can visit Katie's and her husband's adoption Facebook page, which has a link to our website in it as well, which is www.facebook.com/Bruce and Katie Adoption Journey.
Cassie and Katie, thank you so much for sharing this information with us today. And Katie, we wish you and your husband all the best and hope that you have a little one to bring home soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Switching gears a little bit, it is the holiday travel season, and if you've ever been on an airplane, you know how often it feels like etiquette and manners rarely make the flight. One survey found that some habits are a bit more annoying than others when it comes to traveling, and guess what? They usually involve kids. But with holiday family vacations creating some of the best memories for children and their parents, what can we do to make the travel experience awesome for all involved? Well, joining us today from the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, with more about the survey and some helpful tips on how we can make our traveling better for everyone, is travel expert and mother of four, Sarah Gavin. Let's welcome Sarah to the show. Thanks for being with us. And Sarah, I understand that you did a survey about the most annoying people on airplanes. So can you tell us who came in as most annoying, and what do we do if we're stuck next to somebody on a plane that's very annoying?
That's right. Every year, Expedia studies airplane etiquette. And this year, the number one most annoying person to sit next to on a plane is the rear seat kicker. That person who, when you recline your seat, they show their signs of protest by kicking and kicking and kicking the back of your seat. Number two is inattentive parents. So it's not so much sitting next to the child that's annoying, it's sitting next to a parent who doesn't care that their child is annoying, that really, really, really turn people off. And then the third is the aromatic passenger, that person who just totally forgets that good hygiene is something that you're supposed to do before they get on a plane. That, I have to tell you, is my least favorite person to sit next to.
I bet. And how can we make sure that we are not annoying our fellow passengers?
You know what? I've got four kids, and so, you know, this is something that I think about a lot when we travel. You know, the big thing is make sure that your kids are really well occupied. A lot of times I find that parents really just think a device will do it. And like any kids, you know, my kids get really bored of their device after a certain amount of time. So it's making sure that they have a device, making sure that they've got a book, making sure that you've got like a deck of cards or some other little easy to pack games, switching spots so that, you know, your kids can sit next to other, you know, instead of sitting next to their brother, they can sit next to their sister. They can get a little bit of a change of scenery, or instead of sitting next to mom, they can sit next to dad. And then I will tell you, a good friend of mine who was traveling with toddlers once told me the best tip, which was buy drinks for everyone around you when the flight starts, and say just right up front, "I'm so sorry, we've got kids. We're going to do our best to make sure that they're great flyers. But, you know, kids are kids, and, you know, here's a drink, or here's a small gift to make your flight a little bit better."
Well, Sarah, you are at Disney World today, and Disney, of course, is a very popular vacation and even a very popular holiday destination. Can you tell us what is new at Disney this holiday season?
You know, there really is nothing like going to a place like the Walt Disney World Resort right here where I am. Over the holidays, Disney just knows how to get everybody in the holiday spirit. They've got 8.5 million lights, they've got 15 miles of garland, 1,300 individually decorated Christmas trees and trees. And really, everything about it is so special. I'm sitting in front of Cinderella's castle right now, and Queen Elsa from Frozen will use her powers to transform the castle into this glistening ice palace later tonight in this Frozen Holiday Wish castle lighting show. She and her sister, Anna, will have fun with that. And then if you've got older kids, Epcot is the place to be over the holidays. You know, they've got amazing holiday traditions and holiday food from all around the world. They have the retelling of the Christmas story and the candlelight processional. So for older kids or for adults, that's a really nice place to really remember the meaning of Christmas and get into the holiday spirit.
Well, that sounds awesome. Sarah, how can we save some money on our holiday travel this year? What do we need to know? Do you have any tips or tricks of when we should be looking at purchasing an airplane ticket?
Yeah, so, you know, the big thing is try to travel on off days. So we see that the most popular days to travel are the 23rd through the 26th of December. So if you can travel on the 21st or 22nd, we actually see at Expedia when we study this, we see that the 22nd is the best possible day to travel. You can save, you know, 5, 10, 15% off. And then also look at alternate airports. So if you're flying into Chicago, don't just look at O'Hare, look at Midway. If you're flying into L.A., don't just look at LAX. Look at Burbank or look at Long Beach or look at Orange County. Or, you know, if you're flying into New York, don't just look at JFK. Look at LaGuardia and look at Newark. People can save, you know, on average up to $50 or $75, and that's real money. You know, you multiply that by a family of four, that's a lot of good money to be able to save on your holiday travel.
And is there anything else we should know before we take a trip this holiday season?
Two big things. There's two other big ways to save money. The first is, you know, just like, you know, as moms, we always know we would never imagine buying our cable from one service and our internet and our internet or our home phone from another service. We know that when we bundle those, we can save money. The same thing applies in travel. By booking your flight and hotel at the exact same time, you can save up to 20%, or in big resort destinations, that's, you know, $800, $900, even $1,000 off that trip. That's real money and big savings. And then I'll also say, you know, if you want to give your family the gift of travel so that you can escape winter in January or February, be sure to check out Expedia's Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales. We have 4- and 5-star hotels at 75 to 90% off, so huge, huge savings.
Sarah, where can we learn more about everything we've discussed today?
Go to Expedia.com or visit Expedia's Instagram page, where we're giving 30 people we're sending 30 people home for the holidays this season.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us, and happy holidays and safe travels.
Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
And keeping along the lines with our holiday travel tips, we have a travel therapist to help us take some of the stress out of our holiday travels, because, you know, there can be a lot of tension involved trying to plan and then just trying to get to your destination. And sometimes flights are canceled or the weather doesn't cooperate. Any number of things can just stress you out when you're traveling. So here to help us out is Karen Shaler, the Emmy Award-winning author of Travel Therapy, Where Do You Need to Go? And Karen also has a new survey that looks at what stresses travelers out and how travelers can combat that tension prior to your holiday travel. So let's welcome Karen to the show.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to the Ask Mom RN show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Thank you for being with us. And Karen, of course, the holidays are upon us. A lot of people are going to be traveling, and that can be very stressful. Why is holiday travel especially stressful?
Well, you know, Tamara, it's the busiest time of year, and because of that, that means more people. You're going to have the crowds. You're going to have the long lines. We all have those expectations around the holidays, right? We want them to be perfect and happy, and when things go wrong, we tend to have a shorter fuse, and we're spending a lot of money. So all of that added together can really give people stress.
Absolutely, and sometimes the weather doesn't cooperate as well, which can just make things even worse.
Exactly.
Well, Karen, you have a new survey that talks about some specific behaviors that some travelers tend to exhibit in stressful situations. What were some of the most shocking findings from your survey?
Well, Tamara, I think this survey is very telling to what travelers are really dealing with. It was done by Homewood Suites and Home2 Suites by Hilton. And they did this so they understood better what their travelers were going through prior to them coming to the property so they could help them best. And it found almost half travelers surveyed had lost their tempers while traveling. A third admitted yelling at a stranger during a past trip, which I find appalling. A fourth of people said with all stress and problems, they just canceled their trip. So 25% of people got so stressed out about what was going on, and they just said, I'm done. We're not going to go on vacation. So we're here to give your listeners some tips so that doesn't happen.
Absolutely. We need some tips to help us have a less stressful travel season. Can you share some of your tips to help us out?
Absolutely. You know, travel therapy is all about picking trips that are best for you based on what you're going through in life. So if you know you have holiday stresses, what you want to do is plan according to your personality. What are your triggers? And kind of have the backup plan there. And plan ahead on everything is going to help empower you as well. My top tip is don't travel on the busiest travel days. Go a few days before, a few days later, or on the actual holiday. I'm traveling on Christmas Day this year, and that saved me a ton of money and a ton of hassle. So that's a great option if you can do that. Also, I can't stress enough, have a backup plan. So if you're on a flight or a train or you're on the road and there's a delay or a cancellation, know what the next step is. If it's a flight, know what flights are after you. And if you don't have to check your luggage, don't check, because that way you're flexible and you'll be able to hop on another flight. And another part of the survey, Tamara, I think you're going to love, more than 60% of people surveyed said, love the family, but don't want to necessarily stay with them during the holidays. They want to stay in a hotel nearby. And that way they ease the stress of everybody. And a great choice is, for great value, Homewood Suites and Home2 Suites. They're such a smart choice, especially for families, because you have all that space. They're an award-winning extended stay all suites properties, so you get your own living space, a separate sleeping area, you have your own fully equipped kitchens. Plus, I love all the free amenities. We need to save money around the holidays. And they offer free Wi-Fi, free full breakfast. And at Homewood Suites, I love the evening social. You get free wine and beer. That helps with a lot of people's stress. And at Home2 Suites, it's pet-free. friendly. So everyone can be together at the holidays, and that's really hard sometimes to find out what to do with your pet. And so I think the main key is to just pick what's best for your family and plan ahead and make sure you have that ready.
And Karen, even with the best laid plans, sometimes we're still going to encounter some stressful situations. Can you share some tips on how we can avoid some of those stressful encounters that typically happen during travel?
No, Tamara, that's a great question because we do need to be equipped. With the survey, more than 60% said what really helped them was listening to music. So, and I really think maybe even picking your music selection a little different this time of year, maybe not the super upbeat, something more soothing that could help you if that's your personality. Again, tailor it to yourself. I like to watch movies if I'm flying, or I like reading a book, whether you're on a train or what have you. I'll save like a good book just for the holidays, you know, and say, oh, it's a treat. So I think of it as a fun time instead of a stressful time if I have delays. And I also think that's really important is when you're looking for like brands and places to stay and airlines to fly, you want to go with ones you trust. This isn't the time of year to pick that smoking deal, but you've never heard of the place, because we all know what could happen. You know, you could arrive, very important time of year, and the reservation doesn't exist. So this is really the kind that you want to make sure that you pick brands you know and book direct. You will save so much money and time. And again, if you go through a third party, you could show up and they could say, we don't have that. Can happen in flights, can happen in hotels. So a really big one. People forget with all those different sites. Use them for research, but I still recommend booking direct.
Karen, we typically have to deal with crowded airports during the holiday season if we're flying, and if we're taking a road trip, crowded roadways, because so many people are traveling at the same time during the holidays. Is there another part of the experience that we need to think about and plan for to create a less stressful trip?
You know, absolutely. I think it's such a good point to know is, you know, it's going to be crowded at the airports. And a good example, I just flew in yesterday from New York. I'm here in Atlanta right now, and I'm already seeing the stress. And they recommended being at the airport 2 hours ahead. They said, you know, normally you can get through security quickly. So if you know you're going to be traveling, go ahead and give yourself an extra hour, especially if you have kids, and make the airport maybe part of the journey. No matter where you're at, even a small airport, a large one, go early, maybe have lunch, have dinner. Don't cut it close this time of year. Too many people are stressed out and doing too many things, and they think, oh, I always do it in an hour. I don't check bags. I can fly by. But you have a lot of people in airports and on the roads that maybe aren't normally travelers. And so they're going to be slower. And also, you know, you want to be patient with those people. This isn't the time of year to be a Scrooge, you know. Be more gracious. Try and help others. Hopefully that'll snowball, and others, you know, will pay it forward and help each other. Because it's going to be challenging, and you need to know it is. And that way, if you have the right attitude, it can make all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. Karen, is there anything else that we as travelers should be thinking about during our holiday travel when we're planning for it?
You know, I think the biggest one, if you can, is to plan ahead. And that will take a lot of personal stress off you. You know you have your flight. You know you have your hotel. You know you have, if you're doing special events or activities when you get there. Don't wait till the last minute, because then that's just going to add anxiety to you. And the plan B and C is a good option. Let's say you get stuck and you can't stay, you know, with the close to the relatives because your plane lands somewhere different. You know, have an app on your phone if you're tech savvy, and go, okay, where's the next best option? You know, what can I do? How can I get there differently? If you kind of do all that ahead, think of it as research. When the actual time to travel comes, you're going to fly through it. No matter what happens, you're going to be prepared and have a plan, and that's going to lead to happy holidays.
These are great tips. Thank you so much for sharing them. And where can we learn more?
Well, Tim, thank you so much for having me. You can learn more at homewoodsuites.com and home2suites.com. And again, they have more than 400 properties around the U.S., so lots of choices, you know, when you're picking. And again, just, I'd say take a deep breath. It's probably, you know, once you're prepared, take a deep breath and think of it as a fun time, not a stressful time, and your attitude can make all the difference in the world.
Thanks, Karen, and have happy holidays and safe travels.
Thanks, Tamara. You have great holidays as well.
And joining us next is one of our favorite travel experts, the traveling mom, Kim Orlando of TravelingMom.com, has some more tips for us to keep in mind when we are traveling, trying to take that stress out of all of the holiday traveling planning. So let's welcome Kim to the show.
Hi, Kim. Welcome back to the Ask Mom RN show.
Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate that.
We appreciate you being with us, and you always have great tips for when we're traveling. And a lot of us are going to be traveling during the holiday season. So do you have some important things we need to keep in mind when we're planning our holiday travel and our getaways?
Definitely. I want to encourage you to keep your sense of humor. I think that that's really important because you can plan and plan, but if something, you know, a curveball is thrown at you, you want to be able to roll with it and just enjoy your trip. So laughing about it and knowing that it'll make a great conversation later, I think just sort of takes the tension out of it.
That's very important because even the best laid plans can sometimes go awry.
It's true.
So we've got to be flexible and roll with it.
It's true. But, you know, I don't want to diminish the importance of planning. I mean, planning is still really important. I'm working with some really good companies to give you some suggestions for the holiday travel season that's coming up. And let's just start with accommodations. If you are traveling this holiday season and you are not staying with a grandparent or another relative, you want your own accommodations, check out Booking.com. Booking.com has 820,000 different options. And when I say different, I really mean different. They have hotels, of course, but they also have igloos and castles and jumbo jets. I mean, I think my teenagers would like to stay in a jumbo jet. Wouldn't yours? I mean, your kids would probably go crazy for it too, right?
I would like to stay in one.
I know,
that's
right?
Cool.
Me too. So all of their reviews are verified and everything is instantly bookable. So you can use their website, you can use their mobile app. It's all done. There's no middle person. The other thing I would suggest is that you pack snacks. I have teenagers. I don't know how old your kids are, but I know that hungry teens mean cranky teens, and certainly the same with my husband.
Yeah.
So Zone Perfect Perfectly Simple Bars come in two seasonal flavors, pumpkin chai and peppermint bark. Both are packed full of protein and under 200 calories, so you get some holiday sweetness without all the guilt, and it'll just keep you going throughout your trip.
Well, that's so important, yes, because like you said, if we get too hungry, we're going to be cranky and miserable.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I'm not so bad, but I don't think I'm so bad anyway, but my kids, forget it. When they're hungry, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Bad. And, you know, you got to think about that because if you're taking a road trip, I feel like there's construction everywhere. There's traffic can happen.
Yeah.
Weather can happen. We all know that there could be delays at the airport. So just plan ahead. Go ahead and put some snacks in your bag. This is just a great, easy-to-go kind of thing to throw in your bag or keep in your car.
And when we are traveling away from home, a lot of us are concerned about making sure that our house is taken care of while we're gone, and especially also if we have pets, we want to make sure that they're taken care of and safe while we're away. Do you have some tips for
I do. I mean, you want peace of mind, right? So for peace of mind, check out the Leo Smart Alert. It works with your home's Wi-Fi system and will send your smartphone an alert if your smoke detector or your carbon monoxide detector go off. If it can't reach you, it's going to move down the emergency contact list until someone takes action. It also doubles as an LED nightlight with 16 million different colors to choose from. And you're absolutely right about pets. I mean, they are our family too. So check out Rover.com. Rover.com has 40,000 pet sitters to choose from. So someone in there is going to align with your preferences and your budget. They will dog sit. They will pet sit in your home. You can have your pet taken to another, like doggy daycare, so they're more socialized. They have 24/7 vet service, premium insurance, and they will even send a photo of your pet to you while you're away. And if you want to send a photo back, I'm sure you can do that too.
Oh, very cool. Well, Kim, is there anything else you want our listeners to know about when we're traveling for the holidays, this holiday season?
I guess I would say go early. Whether you're taking a road trip or you're flying, I know that, you know, when you're flying, you need to be there 90 minutes ahead or 60 minutes ahead, depending on where you're going. Add another 30 to 45 minutes to that. It takes off the tension in case there's a traffic jam, in case something unforeseen happens. So do that. We have 68 riders on Traveling Mom, so someone there can help you with your questions. We have Black Friday travel deals as well, so please visit us there too.
Awesome. And where can we go for more information about everything we've talked about today?
Please come to TravelingMom.com.
Kim, thanks so much for being with us, and happy holidays.
Thank you. You have a happy holiday, too.
And while we're busy making those holiday travel plans, if you are traveling, many of us are also decorating and we're buying gifts and doing everything that comes with the holidays, planning parties, and hopefully just enjoying the fun of the season with your family. And part of enjoying that fun is making sure that everything is safe as well, because having a house fire due to a Christmas tree disaster is no fun. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to get hurt putting up Christmas lights outside the house. So there's some safety things that we need to keep in mind when we are decorating for the holiday season and getting everything ready. We have safety expert John Drengenberg, and he is the Consumer Safety Director at Underwriters Laboratories. And he's here to share some tips with us to help keep all of us safe this holiday season. So let's welcome John to the show. Hi, John. Welcome to the Ask Mom RN show.
Ah, hi. Are you a nurse?
Yes, I am.
Okay, my wife is too.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, John, safety is something that we need to be thinking about this holiday season. And we hear many years about fires being caused by Christmas trees. Can you tell us about some of the potential hazards that go along with having a Christmas tree and how we can protect our families this holiday season?
Well, Christmas trees do start about 10 fires every year during the holiday season each day. And those fires are usually hot and fast-moving fires, so you want to be very careful when you are in the tree lot and shopping for a tree. Run your hand along the branches. If you end up with a handful of needles, that means the tree is way too dry and should never be brought home. But when you do find the right tree, make sure that they cut an inch or two off the base to give you a nice fresh cut, and that means the tree will absorb water. But your job then is to make sure that you keep that tree stand filled with water. It's something that's very important because the trees will drink a lot of water to start with, and you have to check it every day and refill that tree stand. And we've done research at UL, and I can tell you that a dry tree burns so much faster than a well-watered tree, it's almost scary. So that is the safety hazard there. But make sure that you understand, even if you keep the tree well-watered, trees will last generally only about 4 weeks. So try to plan your festivities around that 4 week time limit.
And John, when we're decorating the tree with Christmas lights or if we're decorating outside, what are the things that we need to know and be aware of to keep a fire from happening or any problems from those?
Well, you can be bringing your decorations out of storage anytime now, and the best thing you can do is inspect them. Look for frayed wires. Look for cracked light sockets. Look for any damage on the decoration. If they are damaged, the best thing you can do is to throw them away and get new UL-listed decorations. They're relatively inexpensive, and it's good insurance for you and your family. So take a few seconds to think about your decorations and look them over before you put them up. The other thing you want to remember is that certain decorations are being used outside, and if you're decorating your house, never use metal nails or staples that can damage the insulation on the wire, and it could be a shock hazard for you, and it could be a fire hazard, which is something you absolutely do not want during the holiday season. So never use those metal nails or staples. Plastic hooks are available at hardware stores and home centers. They work great. They're easier to put the lights up with, and they're easier to take the lights down when the season is over. The other thing to remember with your lights is that some lights and some decorations are intended only for indoor use. And the way you can tell that is look at the box when you buy it and see what it has to say. But also, if you don't have the box anymore, which most of us don't after a few years, take a look at the cord. There's a little tag on there with the UL mark on it. If the UL in a circle is green in color, that means it's an indoor decoration and should never be used outdoors. If the UL in a circle is a red UL in a circle, that means it's an outdoor decoration. It's been given a lot of extra tests, including rain tests and sunlight tests and cold weather tests, and that decoration can be used outdoors, and it's expected to be used outdoors. So make sure you know that distinction when you're out buying decorations. If you're decorating outdoors, don't buy indoor decorations. Many retailers just stock their shelves with the outdoor decorations, which can be used indoors if you want.
Well, this is great information. John, a lot of people have family come and visit during the holidays, or we throw holiday parties. So if we're entertaining at home, what are some safety concerns we need to be aware of?
Well, you're so right. There are so many people visiting each other, and it's a very busy time of the year, as everyone knows. You're shopping, you're wrapping, you're greeting guests, you're decorating. That, on top of everything else you do the rest of the year, makes for very little time. So take a few seconds to think about safety. If you are having people visit, especially if it's a family with young children, take a look at what the child sees. Maybe even get down on your hands and knees. And if you see wires or cords dangling, maybe from something up on a table that a child might pull on and knock over and hurt themselves with, try to take care of it in some way, or at least be aware that it's there so you keep kids away from those cords. Also, if there's an open outlet or if you see a sharp edge, that's something a child could injure themselves with, and it's something that you might want to take care of before your guests arrive. The other thing is people seem to congregate in the kitchen, and the kitchen is a great place to do that, but, you know, when you're cooking something, it's probably not the best place to have a lot of people, especially not a lot of kids, so you might want to make that a kid-free zone. It's hard to do, but it could pay off in great dividends. But do everything your mother told you to do. Turn the pan handles toward the center of the stove. Don't let them hang over the edge, because even adults, as well as children, could snag those pan handles and dump the pan's contents on themselves and burn themselves, and that's not the time you want to make a hospital emergency room visit. The other thing to remember is most fires in the home come from cooking. Cooking is the leading cause of fires in an American home. What you want to do is by all means, if you're cooking something, and you have to leave the kitchen for whatever reason, we know that you can't sit there and watch the cookies bake, but take an oven mitt with you. If you take an oven mitt with you, it'll remind you that you've got something cooking in the oven or on the stove or both, and you want to get back into the kitchen to make sure nothing bad is happening, and you want to do that as frequently as possible.
That's a great tip. Well, John, of course, the holiday season means a very busy shopping season as well. How can we protect ourselves when we're using our credit cards online and in the store?
You know, 79% of us are shopping online today, and especially this holiday season, and that number is growing. So you're absolutely right. Shopping online is something that generally is very safe. But it's always good to take a few precautions. Certainly, if you're shopping from home, you want to make sure that you have antivirus software on your computer. That is something that can help protect you. Also, you want to try to use just one credit card when you're shopping online. That makes it a lot easier to check your purchases online with your bank statement. Take a look at your bank statement frequently if you're doing a lot of shopping to make sure only your purchases are on your bank statement and not some other purchases that you're not familiar with. If that does happen, contact your bank immediately and tell them that you might have been hacked. So the other thing is, of course, a lot of people are shopping in stores or online. Make sure that it's a retailer you know and trust, especially if you're shopping online. You want to make sure that the website that you're looking at doesn't have spelling mistakes or punctuation errors. If you see that, it could be somebody who's just trying to make a fast buck and may not give you what you want when you send in your money or your credit card information. So be very wary of something that looks suspicious to you. We always say, if it doesn't look legit, don't click on it.
Very good information. Well, John, where can we learn more?
UL has a great website at safebee.com. SafeBee has a lot of information, not only about holiday safety, but year-round safety that everybody from medical professionals to those of us who aren't can use and try to keep our families safe. That's safebee.com.
John, thank you so much for being with us, and happy holidays to you.
All the best to you. Have a happy and safe holiday season.
Many of us are looking for a way to save money and get our holiday shopping done, and of course, ideas for gifts and how to save on them. And we have technology and lifestyle expert Carly Knobloch here to share some of the tech tools that we need to be using this holiday season to make sure that we're getting the most bang for our buck while we're shopping for the holidays. So let's welcome Carly to the show.
Hi, Carly, and welcome back to the Ask Mom RN show.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back on. Carly, we have all this technology now available to us, and with digital innovations, how has it changed the way that consumers shop these days?
Well, in so many different ways, and I've actually partnered with Capital One to really talk about how technology has positively impacted our shopping, especially during the holiday season. But, you know, whether you're buying a car or all the way down to just buying gifts for friends and family, any purchase, large or small, there's really so many ways that you can use technology to build that confidence and that you know before you make the purchase that you're getting the best deal. For example, actually, if you are buying a car, and it's a great time to buy a car right now because all the dealers are really motivated to get rid of current inventory to make room for new stuff that's coming in next year, you can use a tool like Auto Navigator from Capital One to see if you pre-qualify for auto financing right from the comfort of home before you even leave for the dealership. And then you can take that estimated financing and go to the dealership knowing that you're getting the best deal. You can do all of that without impacting your credit score, which is such a huge plus. So using price comparison apps, if you're just shopping at the mall or you're shopping online, to know that you're getting the best deal and maybe even know where the inventory is that you're looking for. There's so many different ways that you can use technology to really help you save money and make things more convenient during this holiday shopping season.
Carly, technology is constantly evolving. What are retailers doing in order to keep up with the changes, and how does this impact consumers?
Yeah, so there's a real blurred line right now between what I like to call the bricks and the clicks, the bricks and mortar stores and the online stores. So online stores are actually opening up real-life locations called pop-up shops, where it maybe don't have a lot of inventory, but they have all the merchandise there. So you can go in your city and sort of kick the tires on stuff that maybe you were hesitant to buy without seeing it in person first. And then the retail stores are trying to stay competitive with the online establishments by using their retail locations as distribution centers for their online outposts. So they already have the retail locations. If you'd rather shop online, they're going to try to get you the product faster by using those retail locations to ship you the product from a closer distance than maybe one distribution center for the whole country. So everyone's trying to stay competitive with everyone else, and that means, of course, big savings for the consumer.
Yeah. And Carly, you mentioned that technology can help us save money. What are some things that we can do to use technology to make sure we are getting the best deal?
Well, I think it's a really exciting time right now, and it's also a really overwhelming time. Maybe people feel still a little hesitant to shop online, even though they know that there's convenience there, but they're unsure if they'll be able to be safe when they're shopping online. Or maybe they just feel overwhelmed by all the choice and all the options. But I think if you really look at the internet as a tool to help you do research, to empower you to get the best deal, to know exactly what you're looking for and where to find it. And if you know the basic tenets of internet safety, you know that you're only going to put your credit card into a store that's reputable, that has a secure web page to put that credit card information into so that it cannot get lifted by anybody else. So knowing those basic principles and really looking at the internet as a research tool really helps you, you know, make sure that you're saving money this holiday season.
Is there anything else we should know this holiday season as consumers?
Well, I just think that, you know, there are so many apps that can help you do everything from, you know, comparison shop, as I said, or pre-qualify for auto financing like Auto Navigator can, to tracking all your packages, to keeping coupons for you so that you never end up in the store without a coupon that can help you save even more money. So I think really looking to the App Store and even just going under the category of shopping and just seeing what's there and seeing what makes sense for you and the way that you like to shop, definitely arming your phone with all of those apps like tools can really help you make the most out of the holiday season and save a lot.
Carly, where can we learn more about everything we've discussed today?
Yeah, so for more about Auto Navigator, you can go to CapitalOne.com. And for more of all things tech, you can go to CarlyK.com.
Thanks so much for being with us, and happy holidays.
Thanks. To you too.
When you're doing your holiday shopping, you probably already know that electronics are on a lot of people's wish lists. Electronics are among the most sought-after gifts this season. And in fact, according to a recent survey from Gazelle.com, 71% of shoppers are planning to buy electronics as holiday gifts. Joining us today is Gazelle's consumer tech expert, Michelle Perry, to share some tips for shopping smarter this year when you're buying electronics as a gift. And she has some tips on considering certified pre-owned gadgets and how to get some good deals on pre-owned electronics. Let's welcome Michelle to the show.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the Ask Mom RN show.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Michelle, would you tell us more about what the findings were from this survey? What did it reveal?
Sure. So Gazelle just completed a survey that shows there's a huge appetite for certified pre-owned electronics as holiday gifts. And there's just general interest in electronics as holiday gifts across the board. 71% are planning to buy electronics this holiday season. But unfortunately, a lot of people have sticker shock about the high price of new iPhones or iPads in particular. So they're looking for ways to save money.
Can you tell us more about what the options are for pre-owned electronics and technology items?
Sure. So Gazelle has a service that sells certified pre-owned devices. Those devices have gone through a rigorous 30-point inspection process to make sure they're fully functional in great working condition. We do a complete data removal, and we clean and properly package the devices for shipping. So it's a really great quality, and you can save up to 40%.
Wow, which is quite significant.
It is, and also next week from Black Friday through Cyber Monday, we're offering an additional 10% across the site.
So people can really save quite a bit of money if they purchase pre-owned. But are they able to get the latest tech devices if they go with the pre-owned route?
Yes, they are. So Gazelle focuses on late model smart devices. We accept trade-ins, and we pay cash for unwanted devices and we have a pretty broad catalog of things that we'll pay cash for. On the other side, we will sell just simply the latest and greatest smart devices, so iPhones, Galaxies, and iPads. In a couple of weeks, we'll be adding MacBooks.
So if we are looking into shopping for pre-owned electronics and technology devices, what are some tips for how we can find what we're looking for and get the best deal on it?
So I think for a gift, you don't want to mess around with individuals and, you know, Craigslist and dealing, again, with an individual for a transaction. You want to make sure you're dealing with a legitimate business and a trusted brand. So I would do the research by going to the Better Business Bureau and also to reseller ratings to check reviews and opinions. Gazelle is a trusted brand with a great reputation from years of being in the trade-in space, and we offer a lot of reassurance that the device that you get is going to be what you want. Again, I talked about the 30-point inspection. We also have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and we will be offering an extended warranty if you want even more assurance.
That's great. Do you have any other tips to share with us about our holiday shopping and helping us to be able to find the right gift and get a great price on it?
So because electronics are the most popular category for holiday gifts, I do recommend checking out certified pre-owned. I just think that consumers will be delighted with the savings that they can find and the high quality that they get from Gazelle.
Well, Michelle, thank you for sharing this information. Where can we find out more?
Go to gazelle.com and you can get information about purchasing devices as well as trading in for cash. So if you need some extra holiday shopping money, you might have some unwanted devices around your house. And we also have a great blog that offers a lot of great tips and advice on how to get the most out of your electronics.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being with us and happy holidays.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me.
And speaking of holiday gift giving, how to choose the perfect holiday gift for the holidays is something that our next guest has turned into a science and into a very special book. Joining us today is Eileen Avery, and she is the author of Gift Wrap, The History and Art of Gift Giving. And Eileen's been on the show before to share her gift giving tips, and she is back today to share how to choose some gifts for the kids in your life, whether you're buying for your own kids or if you have nieces and nephews or friends or grandchildren. Whatever kids you may be buying for, Eileen has some great tips for us and some gift ideas. Eileen is also the founder of giftexpert.org, and she was the former co-host of the HGTV show called I Want That. So let's welcome Eileen back to the show.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the Ask Mom RN show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, thank you for being back with us. And Eileen, we've talked many times about the art and history of gift giving. Are there some things that you can tell us from your book, The History and Art of Gift Giving, that can help us as consumers when we're shopping this holiday season?
Well, did you know that gift giving for centuries was only on New Year's Day? People gave gifts on New Year's Day for the prosperity of the year. So it wasn't, they were symbolic gifts. And then over time, maybe in the early 1800s, Christmas became a bigger deal and more celebratory. And so people started giving small gifts to their children as little tokens of love. And it just kind of grew from there. So I wouldn't stress too much about giving gifts for children, because children are probably the easiest group to give.
And what makes a great gift for our kids?
Well, I would say a gift that a child can't put down, that they play with over and over and over, but has an educational side to it as well. So one that I really like is Super Stunts Blaze. He is a fun little monster truck, and he is the star of Nickelodeon's hit TV show for preschoolers called Blaze and the Monster Machine, which teaches STEM to preschoolers, so science, technology, engineering, and math. And so Super Stunts Blaze, he teaches, kids are learning about balance through his wheelies, his side wheelies, his back wheelies. He does 360-degree spins. He lights up. He's just a fun toy, and you can find it in any store that sells toys.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And STEM toys and tech toys are very popular. Do you have some other ideas for what the best tech gifts are for kids?
Well, kids are really into wearables right now. So this is the Gizmo Gadget. Think of it as a smartwatch for kids. So the child wears it on his wrist, and he or she can just scroll through like this, and you can put the contacts that are on it. You can put up to 10 contacts of who can call that child, who that child can call, and text as well. They can send emojis. This can be used as a fitness tracker, so it can count steps, and it can count jump ropes, and it's just a fun tech gadget that they can wear without getting your child a smartphone just yet. And even the smallest hands can operate the buttons here, and it's waterproof as well. And parents can track their children on GPS, so you can see the location of your child, and if they go across certain perimeters, then you can get alerts as well.
Oh, that's very cool. So it's also a safety conscious
Exactly.
Gift as well.
Yeah, it gives the parent and the child peace of mind.
Yes, that's great. Eileen, what about our tweens and teenagers? Do you have some gift ideas for them?
Well, they are generally the hardest group to buy for because, you know, what's in today might not be in tomorrow. So cash and gift cards are always what I suggest for that group. But that group is also into reading a lot. I know I have a 9-year-old and 11-year-old. And, you know, so my 11-year-old's just getting into his tweens, you know, his tween years. And so they love to read, and Amazon has some really unique books that are being written by independent authors on their self-publishing platform, Kindle Direct Publishing for ebooks and CreateSpace for printed titles. And some of the ones that I would recommend are Captain No Beard. It's written by a teacher and award-winning author, Carol P. Roman. If you've got smaller children, then The Christmas Owl is beautifully illustrated, and that's written by Angela Muse. But my kids are into chapter books right now. So A Griffin Chronicles is a really popular chapter series by E.G. Foley that you can find. And all of this is on Amazon.com. There are literally thousands of titles that you can choose from, ranging in prices, but all really, really unique gifts. And that's something that your, you know, any kid from preschool or preschool age all the way through the teen years can appreciate.
Eileen, what are some other unique gift ideas that we can choose from to help, especially when we're trying to fit someone's unique personality?
Well, you know, if you've got somebody that has a really unique personality on your list, try to think of how you can personalize a gift for them. If that person is really into, say, gardening, what is a plant that they don't have yet in their garden you can maybe get for them? Or say a child is really into rock collecting, you know, go to online, you can find lots of different minerals and get them something very unique that and put it in a special box. You know, sometimes the way we wrap things makes things a little bit more special. However you can personalize that gift makes it a special gift.
And Eileen, when we're shopping for the holiday season, of course we want to be budget conscious and save money on the gifts that we're buying. How can we do that?
Well, what I do is I shop for my gifts all year long, knowing that I have a holiday at the end of the year that I'm going to be giving gifts for. So what I do is I create a space in my closet, and I call it the gift space. And throughout the year, I'm shopping all the different sales. You know, when things come up, I buy them, and I put them into the gift space so that at the end of the year, I have a collection. But if you haven't done that yet, you might want to start that next year. But if you haven't done that yet, it's okay because, like I said, the gifts from the heart are the ones that matter. So whether it's baking a dozen cookies that you know that that person just loves that type of cookie or a special photograph in a nice frame, you know, sometimes picture books, you know, that you get of special memory books that you create with photographs from years gone by. Those things, those are the gifts that people really, really, that really touch their hearts.
Well, Eileen, thanks so much for all these great ideas. Can you share with us where we can find more information?
You can find everything that I talked about here today at tipsontv.com.
Thanks for being back with us, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
And we want to thank all of our wonderful guests for being with us today, and thank you for listening in and joining us. We will be back next week on Monday, December 7th, with an all-new show with great guests and topics. So please tune in then at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, 10 a.m. Pacific. And we will look forward to talking with you then. I hope you have a great week. And in the meantime, you can connect with us at momrn.com. You can find us on Facebook at Ask MomRN Show and on Twitter at MomRN. And on YouTube, you can search for youtube.com/MomRN and search for Ask MomRN Show on YouTube as well. You can find our videos there. Have a fabulous week, everyone. We will be with you next Monday. Please tune in then.